Members, 1 o'clock having arrived, I'm going to call the April 8th, 2021 meeting of the Taxes Committee to order under remote rules 10.01. And to the public and others, information for this meeting can be found probably the easiest by going to the House of Representatives website, then going to committees, going to Taxes Committee, and then looking down to the right-hand side, you'll see today where all of the amendments are posted, the H21-0146 amendment, the House File 182 amendment, and then A1, A2, A3, A4, A5, and A6 amendments are listed there. With that, Ms. Griska, if you would please take the roll.
Marquardt.
Present.
Marquardt, present. Liz Lagarde.
Present.
Liz Lagarde, present. Davids.
David's present.
David's present. Agbaje.
Present.
Agbaje, present. Carlson.
Present.
Carlson, present. Detmer.
Detmer, present.
Detmer, present. Garofalo, excused. Gomez.
Present.
Gomez, present. Her.
Present.
Her, present. Hertas.
Hertas, present.
Hertas, present. Howard.
Present.
Howard, present. McDonald.
McDonald, present.
McDonald, present. Miller.
Miller, present.
Miller, present. Moran.
Present.
Moran, present. Mortensen.
Present.
Mortensen, present. Robbins. Robbins. Sandell.
Present.
Sandell, present. Schultz.
Present.
Schultz, present. Stevenson.
Present.
Stevenson, present. Swazinski.
Present.
Swazinski, present. Joachim.
Present.
Joachim, present. Robbins. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Griska. We do have a quorum. And with that, Representative McDonald, have you reviewed the committee minutes of April 7th, 2021? And would you like to make that motion?
I have, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the honor and privilege of making the motion to approve the minutes.
Representative McDonald moves approval of the April 7th, 2021 minutes. Any questions, comments, or criticisms?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Les Lagarde.
Is it okay if I abstain from this vote?
Well, Representative Les Lagarde, you certainly can. I'm sure you feel badly you're not able to keep your streak going today.
Mr. Chair.
Representative McDonald.
I know we have important work to do, but I just want to say I'd be deeply offended if my friend Representative Listergaard would refrain from my motion.
Very good. I would agree with that, Representative McDonald. Hearing no other pertinent comments to the minutes, I will call for the vote. If you would temporarily unmute yourself, all those in favor of the approving the April 7th, 2021 minutes, please say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The April 7th, 2021 minutes are approved. So today, members, we have the markup of House File 991. And so I'm going to move in just a second House File 991. And then after that, there will be amendments to that. The delete all amendment, we're not going to vote on. That's the one we'll add other amendments to or not. When all the amendments are completed, then we'll open it up for discussion on the bill at that point. So what I'd like to do is move House File 991 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And then with that, also, I would like to move the A21-0146 amendment. And that is the delete everything amendment. And I'm going to get this up on my screen. And all right, so Article 1, Subdivision 7, Internal Revenue Code. No, members, I am not going to go over that. I'm just seeing if you guys are paying attention. This is the amendment that the staff went over on Tuesday in a very excellent fashion in what we heard testimony to. So we're not going to vote on that, but this is basically the summary, and everything is through the A21-0146 delete everything amendment. So now we're going to move to the author's amendment, the A1 amendment, and you do have a summary on that, and this we will vote on. And I do want to go over that briefly if I could. And by the way, I'm going to have a couple other amendments here, the A4 and the A6. And we wanted to get this author's amendment out as soon as possible. Well, things are always changing. A few more things came up. So I apologize that we couldn't do this all at one, but there'd be three. But at any rate, if you want to look along on the amendment, so lines 1.1 through about 2.16 is all federal conformity technical changes. 2.17 to 2.19 deals with the film credit. 2.20 to 2.29 are effective dates for net operating losses and the alternative minimum tax. Lines 2.30 to 2.31 deals with the GILTI portion of the bill and the worldwide election portion. Lines 3.1 to 3.7 has to do with some technical language on the partnership audits. Lines 3.10 to 3.15 kind of clarifies that on that sales tax exemption for restaurants that purchase equipment relating to health standards for COVID, it's $1,000 per restaurant location, not owner, it's per restaurant location. Lines 3.18 to 3.20 deals with that Cass County, that those 35 parcels with the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. Lines 3.23 all the way to lines 8.17 deals with clarification of I-10 taxpayers and homestead properties. So that's those pages. Going to 8.18, basically the 8.23, there were some changes made on that property taxpayers day for schools and information because they do their budgeting a little different. They now can present summary on current year and prior year and not a future year. So that addresses some of the things we heard from schools. It also clarifies that the truth in taxation requirements for the property taxpayer day is the same as current law. There's no real changes. Lines 8.24 through 9.5 deals with fire districts, and it clarifies that if several districts come together to form these fire districts, that they will be treated as a single department, just one department, for the sake of fire state aid. So that was a clarification on that. And also that they have to make a report to the Department of Revenue. Lines 9.10 through 9.32 clarifies something that Cloquet Fire District, I think one of the first and only ones in the state, it basically removes their levy limit to treat them the same as all of these other now fire districts that are in this new fire district law. So it clarifies that for the Cloquet Area Fire and Ambulance Special District. And on the last page, 10.1 to 10.2, Sustainable Forest Incentive Act changes there. Lines 10.3 to 10.5 deals with the county homelessness aid. A couple things. There's a deadline for counties to submit reports to the commissioner on homelessness aid, and also kind of clarifies that it's a 3-year average of students who are experiencing homelessness that factors into the formula. 10.6, 10.7 is an increase for the Hermantown value and matching closely what the projects are for their local option sales tax. 10.8 is the Moorhead local option sales tax. 10.9 has to do with the Tax Expenditure Review Commission. 10.10 to 10.30 clarifies who's going to consult with who on the taxpayer receipt legislation. 10.14 to 10.18 clarifies on the June acceleration part that we have in that in the bill, dealing with if you have a budget reserve. There's a ranking on you would apply that to the June acceleration. 10.19 says that for the 4D housing report that it would only use available data. And the last two parts, 10.19 to 10.22 and 10.23 to 10.25, deals with the Commissioner of Revenue remitting funds to the City of Melrose and the City of Alexandria. And the last one changes the free filing report due date. So members, that is the A1 amendment, and it's open for discussion if folks have questions on that. If not, I'm going to call for the vote on the A1 amendment. So members, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The A1 amendment is adopted to the A21-0146 amendment. Members, the next one I have, thank you for that. The next one I have is the A4 amendment. And this is clarification dealing with the budget reserve and just changes to include the 2019 agreement that used money to balance the out years. During the first special session, there was money, and it just clarifies that part. So any questions on that, members, on the I need to move it. I will move the A4 amendment. All right. Members, any questions? If not, I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The A4 amendment is adopted. Next, I've got the A6 amendment. I'll move that. I'll move the A6 amendment. And basically, this deletes on page 234. Delete section 29, and it has to do with the American Rescue Plan Act. And we're really unsure, kind of, first of all, of where those dollars and where they can be spent. But we also know there are some real questions as to, you know, can you use those federal funds for tax cuts? And of course, there are tax cuts in the tax bill. So just to try to keep things clean and so there aren't any problems into the future, we just deleted that section in the bill. Any questions, members? Seeing none, I will call for the vote on the A6 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay.
Aye.
The motion does prevail. The A6 amendment is adopted. Thank you so much, members, for that. So now I'm going to take, if this is all right, members, amendments as they came in the order in which they were received. And so the first one I have is the HF 182 amendment. And remember, I said you could use a bill rather than having it all written up. And I think this is Representative Detmer who did this. So Representative Detmer, would you like to move that amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move my amendment.
Representative Detmer moves the House HF 182 amendment. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt, and also members of the committee. And first up, I'd like to say that this should have been heard in the property tax. I know I requested a hearing on the property tax back on, I think it was January 21st, 2:29 p.m. to be exact. And so I am disappointed that we didn't get a hearing in the property taxes. So basically, this is my hearing right now that I would like to talk about this piece of legislation that's important. It's one of the priorities of the Commanders Task Force, which is made up of the 9 veterans organizations that are chartered by the federal government. And basically, this bill really applies to the VFWs and American Legions in your communities. As you know, that they're having a hard time making it, especially through this COVID-19 situation. But even before that, we've been losing our Legions and our VFWs around the state of Minnesota. So this House File 182 is a priority. And basically what it does, it eliminates the property tax for these facilities. And I think this is something that we need to really consider. And I really feel that they should have got a hearing in property so that we could have really discussed it more deeply. And I appreciate the chair, Mark Court, for letting me bring this forward and talk about it. And all you need to do is ask, if you go into your VFWs, American Legions in your communities, and ask them what are the key things that will help them out. This is the top one. We've also been trying to pass legislation to, in terms of the charitable gambling, so much of that money doesn't stay with our local Legions and VFWs. And but this would apply to these 2 organizations, would help them keep more of their funds and money right there in the local community. That I know when I coached all those years at Forest Lake High School, I would always come to the American Legion, VFW. I'm a member of both. And I would always come and talk about what our needs were, uniforms, wrestling mats, whatever. And they would find the money to help me out as the head coach. And that is becoming less and less now because of the funds that we're not staying with those 2 organizations. So, you know, with that, I really feel that this is important. There's no cost to the state because if you handle at the county level, I'm sure the counties have some concerns, but this is something that could have been worked out in the property tax committee. And Mr. Chair, I really appreciate this. I take this as my committee hearing, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to withdraw my amendment because I think it should have been run through the property tax first so that we could have gotten things handled and the correct way. That's the way things should be done here in the legislature. But Mr. Chair, I appreciate you allowing me to share that with the rest of the committee because this is one of the priorities for these organizations, the VFW American Legions. And all you have to do is walk into those doors and you'll find out how important this would be for them. So Mr. Chair, again, I withdraw my amendment.
Representative Detmer, thank you for that. And you have great respect among this entire body for your great advocacy over the years for veterans. So I appreciate you bringing this forward. Thank you. Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Detmer. I'm sorry we just ran out of time. There were a lot of bills sent down to the division. I wish you would have had a conversation with me. I do appreciate you withdrawing the amendment. But maybe we can chat offline about it.
Yeah. Representative McDonald, you had your hand up at one time, but I think this was before Representative Detmer withdrew the amendment. But Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I had some few words I wanted to share with the committee in support of Bob. Since he withdrew it, I will get off air right now as well.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else, Representative Detmer, before we move on? Again, thank you.
Well, Mr. Chair and committee members, again, I look at this as my hearing. So I hope that some of the people from the VFW's American Legions are hearing this. I think I'll be having a military action group meeting next Monday, and I'll be sharing what's been going on here at the state and talking about the different pieces of legislation that have been going forward for our veterans communities and our VFWs, American Legions. And this is something that I'll tell them, I'll keep working at it and trying to get this through. is, and I'll work with the counties too. So it's important. And I just want people to really realize that how important that is for these organizations. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Detmer. All right, the HF 182 amendment has been withdrawn. The next one I received is the A5 amendment, and I think Representative Mortensen, I believe that is your amendment. Would you care to move the amendment?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Mortensen moves the A5 amendment. Representative Mortensen, please proceed.
Great. Thank you, Chair Marquardt. The A5 amendment is intended to recognize that the state government should be treated in the same manner as the private sector is during shutdowns. As we all know, Governor Walz has established a dangerous new precedent in the last 13 months when he drew lines between essential and non-essential businesses and then forced non-essential businesses to close for months at a time. And then he doubled down on that new precedent and his abuse of the private sector last November when he forced bars and restaurants to be closed once again. So forcing these businesses to close, of course, chokes off their revenue stream. So this amendment is intended to do the same thing to the state during a state government shutdown. Specifically, all state consumption taxes and state income taxes would cease to be collected during a state government shutdown under this amendment. In other words, the cost of nearly everything would go down and everyone's income would go up during a state government shutdown because there would be no gas taxes levied, no cigarette taxes, no liquor taxes, no state sales taxes levied whatsoever. In addition, there'd be no state income taxes taken from Minnesotans' paychecks during state government shutdowns. When the state government would reopen, this amendment would also say that there would be no back pay of taxes either. Again, just like private businesses, when they were allowed to reopen, they're not able to retroactively generate revenue. So I believe this is a common sense amendment that provides equitable consequences to the public sector by treating state government the exact same way that state government has been treating private enterprise. That's my amendment, Mr. Chair, and I'd ask for a roll call vote.
A roll call has been requested. Chair Davis.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to speak in support of the Mortensen Amendment. I think it could actually come into play because I think we're not only headed for a special session, but most likely a shutdown. I'm not sure how we construct a $54 billion budget over the phone. So I think it's highly likely that we would go into shutdown. I think Representative Mortensen's on the right track here. If the government's going to shut down and no services are given to the people, why in the world would they pay for it? So makes a lot of sense. I've been through shutdowns before, and I think this. I wish we would have had this provision in 2011 in the month of July. So I speak, Mr. Chairman, in favor of the amendment.
Other comments on the A5 amendment? Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just quickly, I do support the Mortensen Amendment as well. And because from what I've heard and being in the legislature for 11 years and going through a shutdown, many, many folks from all over my district and others, they do support this as well. They think it's good common sense, good governance, and only necessary, definitely necessary in a time of government shutdown. So I briefly speak in support of it based upon what I've heard in my district going through a government shutdown and through the emergency powers this past year. So I would support this and encourage all to support it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the A5 amendment? So members, I would ask for a no vote. This was not a bill that has been introduced. So there was no chance for a hearing. And quite frankly, it's intriguing, but I don't know what type of incentives or disincentives this might create politically to go into shutdown or not. And if there was a shutdown, would this lead to increased taxes into the future to make up for lost revenue? So, I mean, that's one reason why you have hearings on a bill. I think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. So I would ask members to vote no. The author of the amendment, Representative Mortensen, you've got the last word.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I appreciate the comments and support of the amendment. Certainly, I think if this were to become law, and I will do my best to make sure this is not the first and only time, or specifically not the only time that this legislation is before people, but I think it would make it very obvious just how costly and burdensome our state government has become to many, many people. And I do believe that this is a great example of equity. And I hear the term equity being thrown around here all the time. And I think this is a great example of treating the state, allowing ourselves to be treated in the same way that we treat the private sector. So I would like to think that if equitable outcomes are truly a priority for members of this committee, that they would have to support this amendment.
Thank you. Ms. Griska, please take the roll.
Marquardt.
Marquardt votes no.
Marquardt votes no. Lislegard.
Lislegard votes no.
Lislegard votes no. Davids.
Davids aye.
Davids aye. Agbaje.
Agbaje votes no.
Agbaje no. Carlson.
Carlson no.
Carlson no. Detmer.
Detmer aye.
Detmer aye. Garofalo excused. Gomez.
Gomez no.
Gomez no. Her.
Her no.
Her no. Hertas.
Hertas votes with a 9% proposed increase in this budget. Yes.
Hertas, yes. Howard.
No.
Howard no. McDonald.
McDonald aye.
McDonald aye. Miller.
Miller aye.
Miller aye. Moran.
No.
Moran no. Mortensen.
Aye.
Mortensen aye. Robbins. Robbins. Sundell.
No.
Sundell no. Schultz.
No.
Schultz no. Stevenson.
No.
Stevenson, no. Swazinski.
Yep.
Swazinski, aye. Joachim.
No.
Joachim, no. Robbins.
Mr. Chair, it seems that Representative Robbins is having some technical difficulties.
I agree. Yeah, so Representative Robbins, and she's got a thumbs up. I think that would be an aye.
Okay, so we've got
Robbins voting aye.
Aye. So we have 8 ayes, 12 nays.
There being 8 ayes and 12 nays, the motion does not prevail. The A5 amendment is not adopted. Before we move to the next amendment, I do want to thank members for getting your amendments in before the meeting started, so we could get that out to members. That is very helpful, so I appreciate that. The next one is that I have that came in is the A2 amendment. Representative Davids. Are you going to be introducing the A2 amendment?
I'm with the A2 amendment.
All right, would you like to move that, please?
I'll move the amendment.
Representative Davids moves the A2 amendment. Please proceed.
Well, if I could have staff explain what that one is. I think I've got a couple. I'll be explaining. Is this the one?
Representative Davids, this is the one on the tax or the incident report.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that's one that we're usually graced with good arguments from former Chairman Garofalo. And basically what we're saying is if we're going to have a fair tax incident study, we do need to include federal taxes. I don't know how you get around that. That being said, Mr. Chairman and members, let me go here. Basically, you know, I'm just really not sure how you cannot add federal income tax, state tax, FICA, or not add that and have accurate data in the tax incident study. We've always heard that it just needs to be state taxes, but yet we hear in committee all the time from my good friends on the other side of the aisle that state tax policy is affected by federal tax policy, and I certainly don't know how one could argue the opposite. So very simply, this is, Mr. Chairman, as you know, this is one that generally Representative Raffel makes wonderful arguments on. I'm certainly not as eloquent as he is, but I would appreciate support, and I would ask for a roll call.
Representative Davids asks for a roll call. Is there any other comments on the A2 amendment? So, members, I'm going to ask you to please vote no. This is an issue that does get debated from time to time. And, you know, the incident report basically deals with things that the tax committee has jurisdiction over. And you're right. I mean, the federal government includes more information, but what we're really looking at is what do we have control over here in the state as a tax committee and as a state legislature. And that's really what the incident report does. So I would ask members to vote no, and I will give Chair Davids the last word. It's his amendment.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd appreciate an affirmative vote, we'll go there. Thank you.
Very good. Ms. Griska, if you would please take the roll on the A2 amendment.
Marquardt.
Marquardt votes no.
Marquardt, no. Lislegard.
No.
Lislegard, no. Davids.
Davids, aye.
Davids, aye. Agbaje.
No.
Agbaje, no. Carlson.
Carlson, no.
Carlson, no. Detmer.
Detmer, aye.
Detmer, aye. Garofalo, excused. Gomez.
Gomez, no.
Gomez, no. Her.
Her, no.
Her, no. Hertas.
Aye.
Hertas, aye. Howard.
No.
Howard, no. McDonald.
Donald, aye.
McDonald, aye. Miller.
Miller, aye.
Miller, aye. Moran.
No.
Moran, no. Mortensen.
Aye.
Mortensen, aye. Robbins.
Aye.
Robbins, aye. Sandell.
No.
Sandell, no. Schultz.
No.
Schultz, no. Stevenson.
No.
Stevenson, no. Swazinski.
Yes.
Swazinski, yes. Joachim.
No.
Joachim, no. Eight ayes, 12 noes.
Yeah. There being 8 ayes and 12 noes, the motion does not prevail. The A2 amendment is not adopted. Next amendment, we have the A3 amendment. I believe Chair Davids, that one is yours also. You would care to move?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll move the A3 amendment.
Representative Davids moves the A3 amendment. Two-year amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just help me out here a little bit. Not that you want to help me out on the amendment, but this I believe this is the lead-all to insert PPP and the unemployment. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, we have been wasting so much time this legislative session. Again, I don't know how we put a $54 billion budget together over the phone, but I guess we'll see what happens there. But two important issues. Members, what this does is this is a delete-all that inserts basically just or leaves basically just the PPP loan forgiveness, which we talked about quite a bit, and the unemployment issues so that we're not taxed. If you've seen a map of the Midwest, Minnesota is the only state that isn't doing federal conformity. And I know it's in the bill, but this bill will go till probably May 17th or in the July or August, just depends on what we do here. We are wasting time. We're wasting precious time. We need to get this part done. And then, Mr. Chair, there's several bills up tomorrow, and we can put the balance of the bill on one of those bills tomorrow and get it to Ways and Means, and we won't miss anything because, you know, the Ways and Means chair can take it up whenever she would prefer to, which wouldn't be by tomorrow, I wouldn't think. I wouldn't think it would be that quick. So that's simply what it does. I'd ask for a roll call, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate members' support. We have to get this done. We've been wasting time. People are filing their taxes. They're going to be wrong because if we get this done in May or June or July or August or September, they have to amend their returns. And that's just not acceptable. We could have done this a long time ago. The Senate has acted 55-12 in a tripartisan vote. So members, let's get this done. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Representative Davids. And a roll call has been called for. And, you know, the issue and your amendment, those issues, of course, are, big priorities. We've said basically from day one that we want to make sure that, you know, all families and all workers and all small businesses that have been hit hard by COVID-19, get aid now. And so a lot of things that are in our bill, including the Paycheck Protection Program conformity up to $350,000 and the same as the unemployment insurance benefits. But we also have that county business relief aid, $70 million that will go out to these businesses that may not see this immediate benefit or didn't receive a PPP loan or might be a nonprofit. And so we've also got the sales tax exemption for the restaurants that, you know, had COVID-related items. There's $60 million in property tax cuts to, you know, working families and businesses and so forth. The bill we have is comprehensive. It deals with everyone. But before we go further, I do want to ask Ms. Templin, since, you know, this is a revenue-neutral bill, Ms. Templin, how does the A3 amendment impact the revenue neutral bill?
Mr. Chair, Cynthia Templin, House Fiscal Staff. The target for the House Tax Committee is zero. The current tracking for the bill is at the target. With the amendment, the proposal would reduce revenues and total revenues for the net change, and that would be out of order in the budget resolution for the tax committee.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Templin. So there is Rule 4.03F that would make this out of order. And I mean, one of the things we need to do when we're doing amendments, we don't have a lot of rules in here, but one is we need to stay to the budget resolution and the target. Otherwise, folks could have had, you know, 1,000 amendments just doing whatever. So what I will do, Representative Davids, I'm going to continue debate here, but I'm going to rule this out of order. But I will continue the debate. So, Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate being allowed to speak despite your ruling. And I do support the Davids Amendment. Members, there's a lot of federal money coming into the state that we could use to offset the rest of this. And our small businesses and the folks who have been on unemployment should not have to face this tax liability to the state when they had no idea that this would be coming, and they are stressed. I had a call just yesterday from a woman in my district who's been on unemployment who went to H&R Block and got her taxes prepared, and she owes $300 that she does not have. And she asked me, when is this going to get done? And I said, well, we're taking it up this week, but I mean, the deadline to May 17th, members, if we cannot get this across the finish line, people like my constituent who are waiting right now to file their taxes to see what we do, she will have to pay that $300. She doesn't know where she's going to get it, and then hope we get it done
at some point if there is a special session, and then maybe she'll get a refund. Our small businesses and our citizens who are unemployed cannot cash flow this. And there is just no reason, members, that we cannot do a clean standalone PPP and unemployment bill and cover it with the federal money that's coming in into the state, and then do all these other important changes separately. And so, members, I really encourage you to reconsider this. Chair Marquardt, I know you have targets and a lot of responsibility, but we have been asking for this for months, and we keep being told it will happen. But I'm very concerned that we will get to May 17th, and our constituents still will not have relief, and they will have to file their taxes. So I'm at a loss. Chair Marquardt, I don't know if there's any sort of assurances you can give us that if we can't get this bill through conference, that you will allow a standalone bill on this to happen before May 17th. But that sort of certainty is what businesses and unemployed Minnesotans need. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a thought, Mr. Chair, I do support Representative David's amendment, and even though it's maybe out of order, but actually I don't, maybe technically, but it's never out of order when times are tough and the people are looking forward to this and need us to act quickly. Representative Marquardt, I've worked with you for the 11 years I've been in here, and I do respect you very much. You're a good man, and I trust you. I've worked with you, and I brag about you to my constituents and friends. I think that, though, this one is an opportunity missed, and in my years here at the legislature, of course, you hear everybody saying that, there is probably one of the most important things we could do as a tax committee is pass this a month or two ago. I think the opportunity has been missed. I hope that it's not lost. I understand you have other priorities you have to manage in sculpting this bill, but in my humble opinion, as a one vote, one lone voice out here in Wright County representing the people and a fellow businessman who already has his taxes done, this was and is our first priority and should have been done from the get-go, PPP and the UI. I kind of understand what the delay is, but I don't comprehend it. And nor do my constituents, nor do the fellow taxpayers and businessmen and women who have gone through a very, very tough year. So I know you have decisions to make and other folks to include into the dialogue, but this definitely is an opportunity missed. I hope it's not lost, Mr. Chair. I know your commitment to this. I personally would think that I was surprised that this isn't the priority and we would have gotten this done and on the House floor already in a standalone bill. And disappointed, to say the least, amongst many. But in the 6 years I've been on the tax committee, this has been, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, probably the most important tax provision that we could have done in a very timely manner is conform with the UI. And what a shame that we didn't do that. Really, it is a shame, especially when we see the monies that is coming into the state. So I won't belabor the incident. I've talked on this before. Maybe some of my colleagues want to speak as well, but it's a shame, really, that we didn't get this done sooner. So that's all I have to say, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Representative Davis.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, for you to rule me out of order is one thing, but what really hurts is to be ruled out of order by Ms. Templin. I don't know if she knows how sensitive I am. That one hurt. I take it from you, Mr. Chair, but that's the way it goes. But I do have a question for my friend.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How much surplus do we have in fiscal 2021?
I'm sorry. I think I missed the end of that. You kind of cut out. So say that again, please.
The question, Ms. Templin, is how much surplus are we projected to have in at the end of fiscal 2021?
Ms. Templin, budget reserve for after 2021.
Mr. Chair and Representative Davids, Cynthia Templin, House Fiscal Staff. If the question is what is the balance of the budget reserve after for the fiscal 2021 biennium is $1.885 billion. The budget reserve in the next biennium is that amount with the reduction of $150 million and the reduction of $491 million.
Okay.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I probably didn't state my question very well. I guess the question is, at the end of the fiscal 2021, what's the surplus?
Ms. Templin.
Mr. Chair and Representative Davids, according to the February forecast, the balance, the general fund balance in fiscal 2022 is $2.453 billion.
Okay, well thank
Chair
you,
Mr. Davids.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would move to amend my veto all amendment, please.
I don't know if you can amend because we're already an amendment, amending an amendment.
No, you can, Mr. Chairman, you can amend an amendment. You just can't amend an amendment to an amendment.
Amend an amendment to, so we have, hold on a second. So we have the A21-014, okay, that's right. You've got the amendment, so I think you're okay. All right, go ahead.
And I would never disagree with Ms. Schill or Ms. Templin, but I don't think that's the answer. I think I was looking at fiscal year 2021. But that being said, I think this would still work. The amendment to my amendment would be, so I'd like to offer an amendment to the amendment. The Minnesota management budget must transfer necessary funds to the Department of Revenue to cover basically and have it paid out for these two tax issues here by June 30th of 2021. So the amendment is MMB must transfer necessary funds to the Department of Revenue to cover these two issues, being PPP and unemployment, by June 30th of 2021. That would make the amendment in order, but I guess we got to first work on getting the amendment to the amendment on the amendment.
Representative David, so you've got an amendment to the A3 amendment, which is amending the A21-0146 amendment. So I do think this is out of order. Boy, I really, really do not like saying that to Representative Davids, but I think this is an amendment to an amendment to an amendment.
Well, and thank you. And again, it doesn't bother me if you rule me out of order, but comments from Ms. Templin, I don't know if I'll ever get over those. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. And being ruled out of order or not, I mean, this is a serious issue. There's no two ways about this. And, you know, I'm hoping also as we move this tax bill forward that just a lot of pressures will force a quicker global agreement between the governor and the leadership in the House and the Senate to move things forward too. So I do appreciate you bringing this forward. Members, we have no further amendments. With that, what we have is the A21-0146 amendment as amended, and we can debate this now or whatever. There, even after this would be approved, if it is, there still is one more final vote on House File 991 as amended. So there's another vote. So just so you know, so you can discuss it here or you can discuss it after we've moved adoption of A21, either which way. So with that, we're now to the motion of the base motion of the A21-0146 amendment as amended. So any debate on that, otherwise we move to a vote. And then there still is one more vote before we would send this to Ways and Means. So any discussion? If not, I'm going to call for a vote. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question on the timing of the passage of this bill.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. So I don't know what the schedule would be for Ways and Means. The next stop is Ways and Means to end of the House floor. So I don't think there's been a date set, and I don't want to venture on a guess right now because I just don't know.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, thank you. Seeing no other comments on this, I'm going to call for the vote on the A21-0146 amendment as amended. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The A21-0146 amendment as amended is adopted. So we are now to House File 991 as amended to be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. So members, we're open for discussion. It's second reading has been done. So we're now in third reading. Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say all Minnesotans deserve economic security, and this tax proposal will help working families and small businesses recover from COVID-19 while investing in opportunities for a better and a stronger Minnesota into the future. I'm a little concerned that I've heard multiple times in committee today that folks think we will not be able to come together to balance our budget before July 1st. I guess I have more confidence in our ability to work together than others do. As for the sections from the property tax division we worked on, I've included property tax relief to homeowners and renters, gave more flexibility to our cities to spur economic development, increased affordable housing, and invested in energy improvements. We even had a little something in there for agricultural properties and veterans. I want to thank Chair Marquardt for his laser focus on helping all Minnesotans recover from COVID and for investing in the future stability of Minnesota.
Thank you. Any other discussion before I go to Chair Davids and then myself for final comments? Representative Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to committee members. I just want to thank the chair and this committee for this work on this tax bill. It really feels like this committee and this our work on this tax bill really lays the foundation for the kind of budget that we passed this session. And it communicates the kind of values and priorities we're setting forth for Minnesota. And I really believe that this bill does a good job of that by focusing on the Minnesotans most impacted during this pandemic and asking those that have benefited quite richly during it to pay a little more. In particular, I really want to thank the chair for the inclusion of corporate tax fairness. I really think that so much of the last many months we've talked about supporting our and how hard this pandemic has been on our smallest businesses. Meanwhile, rich multinational corporations have not shared those hardships. In fact, continue to use their own accounting tricks to hide profits overseas. And that just isn't fair. That's not something that our local Main Street businesses can do. And what this bill does, not only are we increasing fairness, as the chair mentioned, providing $70 million in assistance to those businesses that lost money during this pandemic, those most impacted. And that's just one example of how this bill sets forth the right priorities for our state. I did want to highlight, you know, as you mentioned, Chair, you know, nobody gets everything they want in this bill. You know, I think that we can go even further in terms of communicating, representing our values in terms of our commitment to affordable housing. I appreciate the property tax chair, Joaquin, for hearing our proposal on 4D and having a piece of that in this bill, although I think we can go much further and have had really encouraging conversations with stakeholders since we held the hearing in property taxes. That's one area that I believe we can and will be able to succeed and go further as the session proceeds. But overall, I just want to communicate my thanks to the chair, to this committee, and really feel that this bill sets our state in the right direction coming out of this pandemic. There's light at the end of the tunnel, and this tax bill helps us get on the right tracks heading out of that tunnel. So thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt. I also just want to add my thanks to Chair Marquardt and the team for putting together a solid tax omnibus bill. Particularly, I'd like to thank Chair Marquardt for including the vaping devices and also for appropriating funds to the Minnesota Department of Health to address smoking and preventive measures to prevent smoking and smoking cessation. I also am grateful you included House File 998, which devotes significant dollars to affordable home ownership through the mortgage and registry deed tax revenue. So really appreciate that, and my community appreciates that. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Representative Leslegard.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I want to thank you for your leadership in how you handle this community committee. And you're all inclusive, you're kind, you're courteous, you're respectful. And I think that in these challenging times, it has set the tone that we need more of. And so I want to thank you for your leadership. Obviously, it's not everything that everybody wanted, but it is a bill that moves this state forward. So I want to thank you for your leadership and thank you for how you handle the committee.
Thank you. Anyone else? If not, I will move to Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I too would be remiss if I didn't thank you for the way you've been able to run this committee. I really do appreciate your efforts. That being said, we're going to be voting on a bill that is not going anywhere. And a couple of concerns that I do need to express to the committee is the last few days in testimony. Oh my gosh, class warfare, and that's not helpful. I'm hopeful after hearing a certain chair of a property tax division that she believes that this can be done by July 1st. I hope so. When I say we're going to be going into July, August, who knows how far. I've been doing this before a lot of members on this committee were born. And I can usually call, at this time of year, I can kind of call the end game. I'm not able to do it this time, Mr. Chairman. I don't know how this goes. So I appreciate the optimism of the property tax division. I appreciate that. And I hope she's right. And I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. Because it's serious stuff. And, you know, to be wasting time as we are and not getting things that need to be done, such as PPP, in the unemployment issues, we are really hurting our taxpayers. And Mr. Chairman, to your credit, you have a lot of very good provisions in this bill. A lot of very good provisions in this bill because a lot of them were mine. So I thank you for that. Very good provision in this bill, but I cannot go to a fifth income tax tier, and I can especially not be raising taxes by the millions on the poorest of the poor. Because when we talk about raising taxes on corporations, they don't pay them, they pass them on consumers. Does that hurt somebody like me? No. Does it hurt a lot of people? Yes, it does. And that's the biggest thing, the biggest concern I have with this tax bill is the fifth income tax tier. Not even, how in the world can we even consider raising taxes if we're going to have billions and billions of dollars in surplus? It makes no sense. But I'm not going to expound anymore because it's dead. It's not going anywhere. But Mr. Chairman, you run a good committee. I've sat in that chair before, and it is the best committee in the House, in the legislature. With no question on that, but I cannot support fifth tier regressive taxes. And this continual talk of taxing the rich, soaking the rich, fair share, which has no definition. Members, that's not where we need to go. We need to get serious, and I know we have to get through ways of meetings, have it pass House floor, go to conference, then we'll get serious. I get it. I understand how this works, Mr. Chairman. And hopefully we can come to reasonable conclusions, but it won't look anything like this tax. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. And thank you for those comments. And thank you, Representative Davids, for your work and cooperation. And again, I want to thank the staff for their wonderful work throughout. And I know there's a lot more work ahead, but both partisan and nonpartisan, thank you so much. And members, this is an excellent group, and we have great discussions. And I do think it's a bipartisan bill. We might not get a bipartisan vote, but there are at least almost 30 items, Republican items in this bill. And it's because when you've got to help people, that's not a partisan thing. And that's the bottom line, is this tax bill really is going to make a difference and help people around the state who have really been hit hard by COVID-19. And that's our families and our workers and our small businesses. And it also allows for the investments in long-term funding, ongoing long-term funding in areas of education, housing, healthcare, public safety. I mean, all of those areas that is going to make a better and stronger Minnesota. And this tax bill provides over $1 billion of tax cuts and aids to families and workers and businesses. And I just want to kind of cover the highlights again, because, you know, for working families and others hit by this, I mean, it does provide the $10,200 subtraction on unemployment benefits. This is going to help almost 500,000 people with about almost a $500 on the average tax cut. That's going to be significant. The working family credit, $60 million. We know that program reduces poverty. It transitions from welfare to work. It's a proven program that rewards work and families. And we're adding $60 million to that. There is $30 million in property tax cuts for renters and homeowners in the bill. Student loan credit, almost $10 of $10 million of relief. And just to pick one kind of other area that really is going to have a long-term impact is the county aid for homelessness prevention. We're getting word from our counties right now that one of their biggest concerns in the counties is home insecurity. And they know that that is driving up social services costs and ultimately raising their levies. They've been in strong support of this. And when you, as a teacher myself, when you think about children, students coming into your classroom, how are they going to learn when they didn't even have a roof over their head the night before? And so, I mean, this is going to make a huge, huge difference. And, you know, we've talked a lot about businesses. This focuses like a laser beam on our Main Street businesses, our mom and pop shops, our small businesses around the state. And we confirm on the Paycheck Protection Program up to $350,000. So, you know, I wanted to, you know, before we went ahead with that, I wanted to see what impact that had. And so I've spent quite a bit of time looking at this. There's a federalpay.org website that has information from the Small Business Administration. So these PPP loans are public information. And in Minnesota, up to kind of this point, according to this website, there's been about 190,000 PPP loans that have gone out to almost about $16 billion. And so I looked at, you know, how many would be fully exempted up to 350,000. And, you know, think about this. We're talking about our restaurants. We're talking about our fitness centers. We're talking about our beauty salons. So I looked at full service restaurants. And at 350,000, 91.4% of all the loans will be fully exempt under this bill. 91.4%. Members, those are your Main Street ma and pa restaurants and businesses. So I looked at beauty salons. 99%. There's almost 5,000 loans to beauty salons. 99% of those will be fully covered under the 350,000 exemption that we have. I looked at fitness and recreational sports centers. 97.4% will be fully covered. 97.4%. Members, this is taking care of our small businesses. And you can also look at your cities. I looked at my own city of Dilworth. And 108 of the 112 loans will be fully covered. And that's, what, 96%. And in Moorhead, 97% of all loans will be fully covered. So to somehow say that what we're doing isn't covering small businesses, think about, again, the businesses in your districts. Think about them. And if they're not a multinational corporation shifting profits, or if they didn't make $1 million or more, they're not going to pay these taxes. And yet they're going to see all the benefits we have in this bill, probably for almost all of them, full PPP exemption. They're going to see the $70 million business relief loan that is going to, or grants that are going to go out to these businesses that might not benefit from PPP. It's going to be nonprofits. It's specifically in there, congressional veterans organizations. It's going to be these businesses that are really hurting, that might be falling through the cracks. And we know our counties have done an excellent job already twice getting dollars out to those businesses, and they're going to do that again. The property tax relief, moving the exemption on CI property up to $150,000. That's going to be huge. Think again about your ma and pa Main Street businesses, those restaurants. That could cover all of their statewide levy. And now, with if this bill goes into law, $10.5 billion of market value on CI property will be tax exempt. So, you know, we've got the tax exemption for businesses that have restaurants that needed to do things for health care and so forth. So, members, this is a good bill. This helps people and businesses when they need it the most. And it also looks at a tax system and makes a better tax system. It levels the playing field. It creates more tax fairness. Creates transparency and accountability. And on top of that, but most important, it is going to make a difference in people's lives. It really is. And again, think about those folks. And if they're not a multinational corporation, they didn't make over $1 million, they're not going to pay these taxes. But they're going to see all the benefits in this bill, which is going to allow these families, workers, and businesses to not only recover, but position themselves for an opportunity to be better and stronger into the future. So members, I want to thank you so much for your work on this, and I'm going to ask for a yes vote. And so members, it's got to be a roll call, but I am going to renew my motion on House File 991 as amended, be re-referred to the committee on Ways and Means, and direct staff to make any technical corrections. Chair Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is highly unusual because you should have the last word, and I appreciate that. But I was remiss in not thanking the staff on both sides of the aisle. From the Republican caucus, we thank you and your staff and House Research and Partisan Research, Republican, Democrat, just did a tremendous job. And so I shouldn't be having the last word, but I think it's a good word. And I thank you and your staff for everything you did, and all members. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And it's a great last word. Thank you all. So again, I will renew my motion, the House File 991 as amended, be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, and to direct staff to make any technical corrections. We need to take a roll call. So, Ms. Griska, if you would please take the roll. And just for this is the final vote of the day.
Marquardt.
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Lislegard.
Lislegard, aye.
Lislegard, aye. Davids.
Davids, no.
Davids, no. Agbaje.
Aye.
Baje, aye. Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Detmer.
No.
Detmer, no. Garofalo, excuse. Gomez.
Gomez, aye.
Gomez, aye. Her.
Her, aye.
Her, aye. Hertas.
No.
Hertas, no. Howard.
Aye.
tax bill.
Howard, aye. McDonald.
McDonald, no.
McDonald, no. Miller.
Miller, no.
Miller, no. Moran. Moran. Mortensen.
No.
Mortensen, no. Robbins.
No.
Robbins, no. Sandell.
Aye.
Sandell, aye. Schultz.
Aye.
Schultz, aye. Stevenson.
Aye.
Stevenson, aye. Swedzinski.
No.
Swedzinski, no. Joachim.
Aye.
Joachim, aye. Moran. Moran.
Yes.
Moran is aye.
Aye, I'm sorry.
We have 12 ayes, 8 nays.
There being 12 ayes and 8 nays, the motion to re-refer House File 991 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means and direct staff to make technical corrections does prevail. This amendment or this bill is passed and move forward. I guess this isn't an amendment anymore. So the bill is passed. Members, thank you again for your work. Tomorrow, we're going to hear the education on this bill, the transportation on this bill, a bill on kind of elections and political contribution refunds, and 3 vehicle bills. So there will be a lot of voting tomorrow. We do start at 1 p.m. And again, if there's amendments, just like last time, just make sure you get those in before, you know, at least an hour before committee, half hour before committee starts, so we at least get those posted. But also you can use bills again, like same rules as we had for the tax bill. Representative Swedzinski.
Mr. Chair, just a general question. You said there are some vehicle bills. Are those the transportation bills?
That is good. No, actually, they're not, but they could be. Yes, yes, that is very good. I hadn't even caught that myself. Very good, Representative Swedzinski. There are actually, I think, a couple education bills and 1 tax bill. All right, members, thank you. With that, we'll see you tomorrow. We are adjourned.